You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
The Civil War time, and then Lincoln came and they drafted and he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and it freed all African Americans from slavery. And it was the most, it was like, in my opinion, it was one of the hallmark times in America. It was one of those huge turning points in America that truly began to define us. And yet, there were accounts of slaves who are free slaves now. They would be known after the Emancipation Proclamation. But they were still living in places and still living in slavery and still working for their masters. They were free because of Emancipation Proclamation. It was that document, if you will, that legal document freed them, and they were totally free. Yet because they did not know about it, they did not, no one had told them they were free, and they didn't know about this document that the President of the United States had signed, and so they were still living in the bondage of slavery. And so someone had to come to them and open them up to this understanding that now they were free. And there was even difficulty for some of them to believe it. They had been slaves all of their lives. They were born into slavery, and that's all they had known was slavery. And so they were living under what they knew. And someone comes and says, but don't you understand, you're free now. You don't have to live this way anymore. And it was even difficult for them to embrace that because they had lived under it so harshly and so deeply, and it was so entrenched in their thing. It was their identity. If you had said, who are you? They would have said, I'm a slave. And the powers that be, the President of the United States, said, no, it's not going to be that way. I'm signing this, and I'm setting them free. And that is what Jesus has done. He's emancipated you and I from a life of sin. He set us free. And so this morning I want to talk about that freedom and this idea of grace. And I want you to get revelation, because see, I think some of us are still living under the old law. We're still back there. And God has set you free. He's written it out in eternity. And he has set you free through his son Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection. And so today I want to declare to you at the beginning of this message, you are free. You're free. You are so free. You can't be any more free than you are today. You may not feel free. Your life may not act as though you're free. But that doesn't change the truth. How we feel and how we think and how we behave will never change the truth. The truth is eternal. The truth is from God. And that truth is today that you are free. And whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So that's where we start, all right, is we start in this place of being free today, and we work out of that. We're going to operate out of that. So from this point forward, even if you felt like you were in bondage or you felt like you were still bound up in some way, or there's some things in your life that haven't been taken care of yet, that does not dictate who you are. You are free in Christ today. You are under grace. I'm going to take you through some scriptures, and I got a lot of them. We may even make this a two-part sermon in a six-part sermon or something. I don't know. But I got captured by grace this morning. I got caught up in it this morning, and it's messing with me in a good way. It's renewed me and excited me today for the kingdom, you know, and I like that. And so I may ask you to stay with me in this place for a couple of Sundays here. I don't know yet, okay, but let's go into scriptures and let's look here. Let's go to Romans. Let's start in Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to focus on a key verse here, but I want to take you through a little passage here. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death into life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master. And this is the key verse that I want to kind of camp on here, all right? Sin shall not be your master, because you're not under that law anymore, but under grace. Today, let me declare to you, you are a child under grace. And that's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to be transformed, is in this atmosphere of grace. Here's what I want to happen over the next weeks. I want to talk about this idea of identity more. And I want to solidify your identity that is in Christ. But I also want us to talk about this whole idea of creating an atmosphere. And that atmosphere is one of being life-giving. I no longer live in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is the law. But I live in the tree of life. All right? So I choose where I live. I make that decision based on who I am, not on anybody's legalism, not on anybody's control or manipulation, not on my own expectations of myself, on my own unrealistic standards that I set. I don't live under somebody's law anymore. I live in life, because in life I grow, in law I die. And so I want to challenge us that we begin to create this atmosphere. So as we talk about this identity and it is solidified, we're going to talk more about being life-giving. We're going to revisit that concept of being life-giving. Because I think that's a huge part of our identity. And all of those things we've talked about, being missional and biblical and all those kinds of things, all of those need to be in the context of being life-giving, where grace abounds. Because there we grow. And that is our desire, is that we have tremendous growth. And so we're going to live as a people of grace. We're going to be known as a church filled with grace. We're going to understand that for people to come in and to take off grave clothes, you know, to take off sin and death, and to be resurrected, they must be in Christ. But in Christ, we have our perfection. It's not in our doing. It's not in our being. It is in Christ, okay? And there in that place, we don't make ourselves perfect. We're perfect through Christ, all right? In Christ. And so we begin to grow. We begin to mature. And so as people come in, we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for relationship in Christ. And in that, we have some expectations of all of us growing together. See, I think there's an amazing thing. When, you know, when we begin to get this, when we begin to understand this idea that it is grace. It is grace that allows us freedom. It is grace that allows us to live this life. It's not law. Law will bind you up. Law will suffocate you. Law will kill. The letter of the law in and of itself will kill. But as we are opened up to an atmosphere, a condition, if you will, where we are allowed, number one, to be human, and as humans allowed to make mistakes, and given that we're going to make mistakes, allowed to grow and learn from them, we will feel as though we have opportunity to change. And the whole idea is that we are focused not on ourselves and our performance and all these things, but we are focused on what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that great love, that great message of grace draws us. And as we're drawn to God and we have a relationship with Him, we desire to follow Him, conform to His truth, and become more like Him. And nobody's arm is twisted and nobody's forced to do this. It is out of a desire of our own hearts we come and we follow Jesus and we become more like Him. You know, we gave ourselves this identity last week of new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, new things have come. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that powerful? And so this thing of newness, it carries over. It has so many facets, all right? Now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm not going to, like, stay here very long this morning. I want to move back to this thing of grace, but I just want to recap for just a moment. Scripture describes all of humanity as being in Adam, all right? Now, as a result of the fall, we are in Adam. We are born with the nature of fallen Adam. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, here's the thing that we have to give thanks for, and that is that God set immediately into motion a rescue mission for you and I. All right? He desired to free us from this prison that we are held in called sin, where we are under the enemy's control. All right, to get us to that place we talked about last week that Augustine described, passe non peccare, you know, that place of being able not to sin. Man, that is so liberating to me to realize, you know, I don't have to sin. I don't have to cave in. I don't have to give in. I don't have to be mastered by sin in my life anymore. I serve a God who has set me free through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I can live out of that freedom, all right? And so Romans 5:8 says God demonstrated His love towards who? Us. You and I. All right? That while we were yet sinners, He died for us. So He didn't say, all right, when you get it right, I'll take care of this thing. You know, that is the way we live in the world today. The world today, the church, life, work, everything is about, you do it right, you'll be rewarded. You do it right, you'll get something. You do it right, you'll be all right. You know? Right gets you right. Wrong gets you in trouble. And God didn't make it that way. He said, you know what? I'm gonna take care of this thing. I'm gonna get us out of this old mosaic law, this old covenant, and I'm gonna finally take care of this thing. So in the fullness of time, Jesus comes and dies on the cross, and now we're liberated, we're captives set free, and that's the identity that we need to live in. That's the place we need to be, because Jesus did for you what you and I could not do for ourselves. He made the difference. He did it all, all right? So it's paramount that we see ourselves as this new creation, and that we see ourselves as benefactors of this new covenant. See there are two ways that you can keep a person from breaking the law, all right? You can lock him up. That'd be one way, all right? Or you can change his heart. But those are the two ways. When you change a person's heart, you do more than create some lawbreaker restrained, if you will. You create a law keeper reborn. All right? And that's us. We're not keeping the law because we're mandated under the law. We're keeping law. We're following Christ. We're obeying truth because of our love and devotion for a God who has loved us already. But we were lawbreakers. I don't know where you come from. I can't grab a hold of that and not be taken by it. You know? I mean, that captures me. That pulls something inside of me. Maybe it's because I was such a lawbreaker. You know, maybe it's because I came from so low or so deep, or from a place so dismal. I don't know. But that isn't why we do what we do, just because of that even. It's because that the love of God is so great and it abounds to all. So it doesn't matter whether you were a dismal, terrible lawbreaker, or where you were, maybe you were living pretty good under the law, and you saw yourself as pretty righteous before Jesus because you were doing all the things you could do and working so hard, and maybe you didn't have a lot of those kinds of sins that I had in my life. Doesn't matter. We all died under Adam. We all come alive under Jesus. It is this thing of in Christ. And so this new creation, this new covenant is the key. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Can you just feel the tediousness of that? Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices. And look at this, which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But when this priest, this one that stands out, this one that is different, this one that truly comes from God, he's not appointed by God. Do you understand? He's not appointed by God. He comes from God. He is God. Offered for all time, one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. The first priest to ever sit. He sat down. You know why? It's finished. It is so done. It is so done that there is now rest in the kingdom. That is the place we're going to. It's a place of holy rest. Oh, I don't have to do anything anymore. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, though, in what we do and who we are, there's rest. There's an assurance that it's settled. It is done. Verse 13 says, since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. I love that. He's just sitting there waiting for the enemy to be brought under. All right? Verse 14, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Made perfect forever as we are being made holy. This is, folks, this is a process that you're going to go through. See, there was a time, this is how Bill sees it. There was a time when I was on a track, and I liked that track. I liked riding that train. But that train was the train of the world. It was the train that the enemy had put me on and lured me into. And I was cooperating with the enemy. I was coming into agreement. My flesh was saying, I will agree with the enemy. And I will go this path. I will go this direction. I wasn't necessarily trying to destroy myself. My personal intent was not to destroy me. It was to have a good time or get my significance or I mean, there's all kinds of motives behind my choice. But the enemy's bent on that was to destroy me. His intent was to take me down a path to destroy me. Then I found Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, come over here. I want you on this track. And this track is a track where you don't have to deal with all of that anymore, because I'm making you a new creation. I'm putting you on a new train. There's a new direction. You are a new creation. And so now you come into agreement with me. So as we go along, you are continually coming into agreement with me, because you're in my train. You're in Christ. And so we no longer come into agreement with the enemy, even though our flesh sometimes desires that and will even be pulled in that direction. That is not who we are, and that is not the train that we are on. We are saints. We are in Christ, and we are maturing. We are growing. We are being saved. We have salvation in Christ. We are being saved. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Next verse. Because by the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. There's this new covenant that is for us, all right? This new covenant relationship is in Christ, all right? Romans 6 bears this whole thing out, this idea that we have here, that we're coming to, and that is this big idea of the day, is to be in Christ is to be under grace. We're new creations, we're in a new covenant, all right? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live in Him. If we're new creations in this new covenant, all right, we have this new relationship with God through Jesus Christ, all right? Now, the big idea, the thing that you walk away with here today is to be in Christ is to be under grace. That's where I live. That's where I dwell, is in the place of grace. So I don't have to do all this other stuff. All right? And we can go back to Romans 6, 8 through whatever, 10, 11, 12, and read all of that. All right? But let me just talk to you for just a minute here about the law. All right? Well, define the law as this, okay? Any standard a person believes they must meet in order to be okay with God, with others, or with themselves. That's what law is, all right? So it's a little bit bigger definition than Mosaic law, for instance, okay? We're going to define law as any standard a person believes that they must meet to be okay with God, to be okay with others, or themselves. Today I want you free of that. I want you absolutely free of that place, all right? The law first came into existence, we know, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, all right? And then the scope of the law has since sort of expanded, all right? And so now law generally emerges out of about three different sources, I think. One would be the laws of the Old Testament and the commandments of the New Testament. All right, that would be one place. Another would be the rules of our society, our religious institutions. And the third would be self-imposed standards of performance. Man, that's a lot, isn't it? You got the law that God gave us in the Old Testament. You've got ecclesiastical laws that denominations and churches and religious institutions say, well, you got to do these things and these things and these things, and then you'll be all right, you know, and stuff like that. And then, if that isn't enough, we come up with our own set of laws, you know, those things that we think we have to do in order to win the approval of others, or even worse, to win the approval of God. You cannot win the approval of God. You have it. It's yours already. All right? We're going to say that so many times that you're either going to get sick of it or it's going to get in there and change you. All right? Because that's what that we know that that's it. That's the crux of it. All right? God loves you as much as he can love you already. And you don't have to earn it. You don't have to perform for it. There's no way you can buy it or trade out for it or anything like that. Okay? So whether it's the Big Ten, whether it's the Mosaic written laws, whether it's religious customs, whether it's our self-imposed regulations, all of these are a part of the law. I want to tell you four things this morning about the law. Or four things from Scripture that I think we can see from the law. The first one, I think we can see it in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. All right? For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. Verse 4 says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Here's the first thing I want you to understand about the law. It doesn't work in this new covenant. What the law couldn't do, Jesus did. What the law couldn't make happen for us, Jesus did. God gave the law in a time and in a place. And God said, I'm going to make this law work. And it worked because he said it would work in that time and place. But then he said, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something better. I'm going to make a better way for you. I'm going to move you out because I'm going to bring Jesus, my Son, in. And I'm going to let him take the place of that law. I'm going to let him do the work that that law could not do. And therefore, you are going to be freed out from under that. That law doesn't work for you anymore. Don't live under an old law that doesn't work. I read an article not long ago on the internet. It was focusing on the state of South Carolina. I'm not sure quite why it was. But one of the interesting things about the state of South Carolina at that time was there was a number of old, outdated laws on their books. And they had never been taken off the books, so to speak. I mean, they were crazy things. They were pretty much ridiculous things. They had no value. They had no power. They had no place in this day. That old law is not for you. Jesus is the new and the better way. All right? He's come. All right? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. We know that the law is good if only one uses it properly. Verse 9. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, and so on. That's good enough right there, all right? Here's the purpose of the law, if you will, all right? The purpose of the law is to reveal what sin is. You don't have this from Chris, but Romans 7:7 says, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you should not covet. The law tells you what is sin. The law shows you sin, all right? God gives the law that God gave gives a gauge of determining right from wrong. Paul even says that apart from the law, sin is dead. Right and wrong have no meaning apart from the law, all right? But here's what the law will do. The law will declare all men sinful. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not even one. We understand that from the law. But then Galatians 6:22 also says, but Scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The law will help you to understand that you need to be in Jesus. That is the value of the law today, is that you might understand that without Jesus, you are a sinner. But in Jesus, you are freed from the law, and it no longer has dominion or power over you. You're not shut up by the law anymore. That's what the beauty of Jesus Christ is. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace, truth came through Jesus Christ. That's where we came. That's our high priest. That's the new high priest, if you will. That's our high priest, is Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Jesus was very respectful of the prophets. Very honoring of the prophets and very respecting of the law. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I'm the fullness of this thing. So you're no longer just living under this law that you cannot keep, but now you're freed up. Having understood and known that you are a sinner, you are now receiving Christ and grace. And now you live. And you live in the abundance of that place, of that knowledge, and of that understanding. All right? Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And the last thing I want you to understand is that under this new covenant, you can't mix law and grace. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Let's start there. I really want to convince you of this one, okay? Because I think this is something we do. We bring law in when we need it. If we feel unsafe, we fall under law, you know? If we are needing something and we don't feel like that grace or mercy or love from God fulfills it, or we are weak in faith, we'll go to the law. You know, if we're feeling very unsafe in a situation, we will go to the law. All right? Pastor Dave, in doing some of his studies, he was sharing with me some understanding or revelation that's come through studies. And I had read this several years ago, and he brought it back to my mind. And you can watch kids on a playground, and if there's a fence around the area, the peripheral of the playground, and there are all kinds of things to do all over the playground, you will see kids running everywhere. They're doing all kinds of things, and they're playing together, and they're running off in pairs and two or three at a time, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're having fun all over the playground. You take away that fence, and they start to move in, and they start to stay close. Matter of fact, some of them will stay in one place because it doesn't feel safe beyond. And for some of us, we've grown up believing that our safety is in the law. The only way I can be safe is if I put the fence of the law around me. And the enemy would love to create that belief in you and to solidify that. The enemy would like to close you in under the law and keep you there, because the letter of the law kills. And the enemy is all about death. Jesus came that you may have life. Jesus came to set you free. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus comes and says, you know what? I need to take the fence away. Because I need you to trust me. I need you to believe. I need you to have great faith that I will never leave you or forsake you. That I am faithful. That I will be there for you. That my promises are eternal. That my mercies are new morning after morning after morning. That my word is sure. And that your salvation is firm, settled, and eternal. That is the place of grace. We don't even like it in church sometimes. How many of you in real life, whether it's work or playing a game or doing your faith, the mentality, the message back there in the back of your brain somewhere is, just give me the rules. Just let me know what I got to do.
I'll do it. Just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Because see, that's very safe for me. That is not where Jesus wants you to live. If you impose any standard that you believe you have to obey to get God's approval, you are under bondage to law. And I want to tell you today that we don't want you to stay there. We want to move you out of that place. Back to the big idea, Romans 6:14. For sin shall not be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. You are under grace. You are under grace. Let's try to wrap this up this morning. In this new covenant, get into Hebrews 6 and a little beyond, you know? Start to look at what it tells you about this new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus and grab a hold of this. Because, see, in this new covenant life, there are some things that you have. They're yours. And they sort of ignite this idea of grace over us. And I want to cover them quickly, and we'll probably come back and we'll talk about them more at some point here, okay? But here's what I want you to understand. That first of all, in the new covenant approach to life, you experience freedom. All right? The bar is behind you. You know, and here's the deal. It doesn't get raised again and again and again. Have you ever been in one of those performance traps, or maybe you had parents this way, or a teacher this way, and they say, well, here's what you got to do. You got to do this much. And you get it done, and you come running, and you're like, I did it. And then they go, well, now you got to do this much. Well, and then you go back, and you go, oh, man. And so you start to do that, and you do everything that you're told to do, and you do it again and again and again. But every time you run back for that affirmation and that validation and that whatever you're needing, the bar lifts a little bit more. And it's like, am I ever going to make it? Can I ever be good enough? And Jesus says, while you were a sinner, I did it. I didn't ask for anything up front. And that's the bar. It's done. The bar is behind you. Jesus died for your sin. You are forgiven through Christ Jesus. And so you don't have to earn this thing and perform for this thing. That bar is behind you, and you are free in Christ. Jesus cleared the bar so that you don't have to. Another thing about this new covenant is that the idea of heaven is in front of you. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. For sin shall... You got it? Thank you. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Look at this. For the old order of things has passed away. Not that it will, but it has. It's done. All right? So you have now this idea of a life of heaven, of hope. All right? You have this hope of eternal life in you. It's not something out there that's elusive and dancing around somewhere. Well, maybe I can get it, or maybe I'll find it, or somehow I'm going to stumble on it someday. I've seen some people that have it, I'm sure, so I know it's available somehow. I just got to find the right equation. I've got to find the right combination. I've got to just know what the right things are to do, and if I do them, I'm going to get it. And I keep trying. No. Heaven is in front of you. You have a hope of eternal life. It's there. All right? Now, here's what I want you to really get a hold of this one, okay? You need to understand this. This isn't good news. Okay? In this new covenant approach to life, you have an enemy that is against you. 2 Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. All right? Here's what you need. Need to understand, you inherit certain things with the new covenant that they come. All right? Uh. I tell you what. All right. Praise the Lord. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That God that tried to get you on that wrong track, that Jesus came and rescued you, you inherit that enemy in Jesus. He is against you. He is constantly your adversary. He is trying to do things to draw you back, to lure you back. That's why there's a wrestling. That's why there's a fight. There's a battle that is going on. And I don't want to mislead you. This side of life-giving and under grace is not some free ride. But it's a great life. But there's an enemy out there who is continually trying to draw you from it. But the Holy Spirit dwells in you and empowers you. And that's the next point. But I want you to understand, you inherit an enemy, but there is a power that has been given to you by God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And you were also included, look at that, in Christ. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to his praise and his glory. You have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. This is the powerful truth that you need to hold on to strengthen you as you face the enemy and as you face adversarial situations in your life. There are two more things that come out of this new covenant approach to life, and I want to go through really quickly, and then I want to summarize here a little bit. Actually, I don't want to summarize. I want to encourage you just a little bit here, okay, in the last moments of this sermon. In the new covenant, you have a family beside you. There is support for you. There is support through those who are around you. Those who sit shoulder to shoulder with you on Sunday, they're not just here because you all belong to the same club. They're not here sitting by you just because it's dutiful to do so. Please don't come here and sit here because you are under the law. Come here understanding that you are under the grace of God, that His mercies are new for you every day. And when you face the struggles of your life, you are shoulder to shoulder with others who are graced and grace-filled. Can we get that? That is so my heart for this church, is that we begin to put such a value on one another that we realize that we cannot live without each other. That is the place of tremendous grace. That is the place where we will grow, where we can love each other without judging each other, where we can receive each other without placing demands on each other. You have inherited in the new covenant a family beside you, and that is your support. You find support in the body of Christ. If you're finding your support anywhere outside the body of Christ, it's misplaced. It's misplaced. And God wants to bring us around one another. And the last thing that I think is so vital, and this is where we're going in terms of looking at how we are missional and who we are as a church, and that is that you find in the new covenant that there is a lost world that is around you. Matthew 28 tells you that you're to go out into the world and you're to share Jesus Christ and disciple and baptize and all that. And what that does is that brings you to place a purpose. There is tremendous purpose that you have in the kingdom. You're not delivered out of darkness and sin and unrighteousness and set over here in a new covenant as a new creation just to be happy and feel good about yourself. I want to challenge you. You're not under the law. I'm not placing a demand on you. But I'm saying that if we understand this thing right, we will have desire for God. And the desire for God, as He loves us and changes us, should impact us and put this impetus in us that we want to share this with others. When you have been delivered out of darkness and you have seen a marvelous light, you should desire to share it with others. When you're brought out of bondage and you are free, that freedom should be the desire of your heart to give to others. And so we have purpose in this new covenant. This is not just a thing that is ethereal and we're out there somewhere. No, it's very practical. And it will help us in terms of how we have relationship with others and how we do the things we do and the choices we make about life. Let me close with this. See, under grace, our mindset needs to shift. And it does. I believe it does. I believe when we get grace, when we really internalize it, I believe our mindset shifts and we begin to think transforming thoughts. And what I want to do is I want to close with some of these kinds of transforming thoughts, if you will. All right? Would you just stand with me? Would you just close your eyes for a moment and let me just go through? I want to go through 10 shifts right here real quick as we close. And I want you to let them do something inside of you. Today I want you to leave here believing this big idea that as a child of God you are under grace. You are free from the law. This is taken from the Christian Secret of a Happy Life, Hannah Waddell Smith. The law says, do this and you will live. Grace says, live and then you will do. The law says, pay me what you owe me. Grace says, I freely forgive you all. The law says, make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Grace says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. The law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. But then grace comes and says, here is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment substitute for our sins. The law says the wages of sin is death. Grace says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The law demands holiness. Grace gives holiness. The law says do. Grace says done. The law makes blessings the result of obedience, but grace makes obedience the result of blessings. The law says if. But grace says, therefore. Under the law, salvation was wages. Under grace, salvation is a free gift. Let us live. Let us camp. Let us dwell under the banner of grace. Let us take hold of this gift that God has given to us. You are not under the law. That is not your identity. You are a child under grace. Let me pray for you. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that these words spoken today by the power of your Spirit would intersect the very core identity of every person in this room, and you would bring a phenomenal transformation as their minds are renewed in the truth of your word. I pray that today the law will not prevail, but rather grace will. And I pray that today the wonderful message of salvation through Jesus Christ alone will permeate our mind, heart, and soul. And God, that today we will live out of that place of salvation by grace and not of works. That we may not boast about anything other than the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray, God, today that you would loose every person from every law they have set up in their mind or in their heart. That they would be loosed from performance. That they would be loosed from the letter of the law. That nothing today would hold them back from experiencing the power of grace through Jesus Christ. So Lord, loose us today from the letter of the law. Pour your grace upon us that we may live in Jesus Christ. That we are not of this world. We are aliens in a world, walking by spirit and not by flesh, in order that we may fulfill the deeds of righteousness through obedience unto God, out of a love relationship with the Father, who has given all that we may have eternal life, a hope in glory, and a resurrection in which we will see Jesus come again and fulfill his true purpose in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. You give God some praise, yeah. You give God some praise. You are free. You are free people today. All right, I love you. I love being your pastor. But I love more what God has done for you.
Right.
And the place that you may dwell in grace. So have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.